strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing, and we're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we're talking with media personality and personal branding expert, Michael Mackey. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
We'll get into your business.
For today's marketing tip, we're talking about standards.
That's what the menu is going to be. Simple, elegant, easy to read, and maintain consistent standards.
And specifically, we're talking about your brand standards. You may have a marketing department that already serves as your brand police, and they monitor everything to make sure your logo and image are being used correctly. That's a good thing. Great job. Thanks for having that department out there looking out for your brand image. Now, for everyone else,
service and standards are far more important.
It's time to pay attention to your standards. Now, first, why? Most estimates range between 4,000 and 10,000 ad messages that each of us are exposed to on a daily basis. That's a lot. 4,000 to 10,000 individual brand messages that you're seeing out there confusing you. Now, as a brand, if the message you put out there, that's the images, the logo, your brand colors, all of that, if it isn't consistent, our human brains as customers have to work that much harder to put your message into the right brand bucket. In short, you spend more money and aren't as effective if your messaging and your visual elements aren't consistent. So that's why. Now, what are brand standards? They're really just a document that locks down the way you describe your company and your services, your logo and image and icons, the colors you use, the way you take and present pictures and videos, everything important about the written and visual elements of the brand. That gives everyone who has a reason to use your brand a roadmap for the right way to do it so that you stay consistent. Not difficult to put together, but really important.
And maintain consistent standards.
Your brand.
We'll get into your business.
We're here on the featured interview section, and I am here with Michael Mackey. Michael, welcome to the show.
Shalom. It's good to be here.
Very happy to have you on the show. First, tell me how I define you, because you're a digital content and videography guru at Lily and James. You're an entertainment and writer for the Pitch in Kansas City. You fill in at KMBZ Radio. You're a travel writer, a personal branding expert. I'm not sure if my question is, like, how do I define you, or what box do I put you in?
I prefer the term media darling. I feel like that is all-encompassing and sort of, that's right there. So Michael Mackey, media darling.
Media darling. Media darling. Checks all the boxes, yes. Gets there. You've been on a personal branding mission to tell everybody about personal branding. And great topic, because there are so many professions where that definitely comes into play. Let me dive into it with that, you know, from lawyers to real estate agents. They're probably doing personal branding. They may or may not be comfortable with that. Let's back up, define it. What is personal branding? Why should people care?
This is my little joke about it. Personal branding is like that old philosophical adage where if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, does it make a sound? Well, mm-hmm. Personal branding is like if you do all these really great, amazing, phenomenal, outstanding things and no one knows about them, mm-hmm. did they actually happen? Does anyone care? So basically, my job is to find really mindful, really strategic ways to shamelessly, blatantly promote someone mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. without anyone knowing they're being shamelessly, blatantly promoted. So that is what I do day in and day out. And it's, if you would have asked me 2 years ago if I would have gotten to be really good at personal branding, I would have been like, you're nuts.
Right.
But then a funny thing happened. I realized that everybody has a story, and I am really good in writing in different people's voices. Like mm-hmm. This morning I worked on an architect, an author, and a cybersecurity expert. So that's a really
broad. That's broad.
That's a really rando mixed bag. And it's also very schizophrenic in that I have to write for so many different voices. But I will guarantee you there is no one out there who cannot benefit from some sort of nuanced or finessed personal branding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so and you're able to write in their voices and can kind of coach them through it. How deep does personal branding go? What are the kind of elements that we're talking about here?
Well, it's anything from just putting yourself out there a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It basically breaks down to people can see if you're being your authentic, best, genuine self.
Right.
And so that is kind of what I want to capture and put out into the blogosphere, the universe, the ether, whatever you want to call it. And I don't want it to ever feel like it's an ad for you, because right. after a while, people will just literally start scrolling by, oh, there's
yeah,
that
they
guy.
Tune that out, right?
Yeah,
we get numb to that after all of the messages we get exposed to on a daily basis.
Exactly. So I think that is, if you just keep putting out the same content, and it is just all you all the time, it mm-hmm. seems pretty disingenuous. So I like to have, I call it infotainment. Mm-hmm, it is mm-hmm. a very good blend of sort of who the person is, what they do, what they bring to the table, but more importantly, some sort of insight into, like, you glean some info or you glean some things about what they're really good at. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're thought leaders in their space.
Tell me about, because I think when we've had to work with business owners of different kinds, and there are those professions where you are it's your name on the marquee, right? There is some element of personal brand that goes along with that. And some professionals, if you're a lawyer, if you're in real estate, if you're a financial planner, if you're an architect, if you're any of these professions where, you know, I'm the one out there, there's some reluctance, right? Where you go, oh gosh, I don't know if I... Is it me? Do I need to be this? Would people care about me? And they hesitate to go forward and kind of put themselves out there. Do you run into that? How do you cope with that?
You would be surprised at the amount of companies that hire us to promote their company via their people. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned several of them, like real estate agencies have hired us to just promote, you know, up and coming $1 million, you know, like luxury real estate agents or mortgage brokers. Oh, here's a good one. Law firms. A lot of law firms hire us to, let's say they have 3 or 4 junior partners who currently have no gravitas, they have no following, they have no anything, but the company knows that in 3 or 4 years, they're going to hit that corner office.
We're going to need that, yeah.
They're going to hit that corner office. And by then, we have built their brand. So not only do they have a following, but they are, like I said, a thought leader in their space, and they have the wherewithal to, you know, sort of promote their brand and promote the law firm that they work for. So it's like a good solid 1-2 punch.
Gotcha. And do you have to drag them kicking and screaming to this, or do they look at the kind of tactics that you're putting together and go, all right, yeah, I get it. I can see where we're going.
9 out of 10 times people realize that there's power in just promotion, but it's how we do it and what we're putting out there. It's never going to be, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal. We're never going to do that. It is always very low key and strategic. And again, we don't throw stuff against a wall to see what sticks. There's a tried and true proven formula to making sure that someone's following is growing as well as what they're putting out into the universe. It's all about really good content that is consistent and makes you want to find out more. Like, you, here's a perfect example. I had 0 following on LinkedIn when I started this journey. Okay. And by osmosis, because the owner of my company, she is, you know, the queen of LinkedIn. I gleaned all that stuff by osmosis. So accidentally, I started building my personal brand to now it's almost at 7,000 followers from 300. I mean, that's a pretty good uptick in 2 years.
That's not bad.
Nothing to write home about. But it's been a good journey. And now I know when to post, what to post, what hashtags to use. And that is all stuff that people need to know, because otherwise they're just flailing around.
Right. You have to give some kind of structure and direction. And let's talk about content for a minute, because quick, captivating, clickable. That's the style of content today.
Say it loud for those in the back.
Quick, captivating, clickable. And as you stare at your past body of work, right, and all of the commercials you've written, the blogs that you've written, those kind of things, because, you know, I do a little bit of homework on this show. It's not nothing.
Thank you.
you've really been there for a really long time. Like, that seems to be the style that appeals to everybody today seems to have caught up to where you are. Talk about your approach to storytelling and copywriting and how you do all of that.
A lot of times, to be perfectly honest, I write as fast as I possibly can. And I've done that pretty much for the last 20 years. I write everything as fast as I possibly can and don't even worry about wordsmithing or punctuation or anything. Mm-hmm. And then I just let it marinate for like a day, because I've found that, and also I write first thing in the morning. Like ask me to write anything after 3 o'clock, forget about it. But I want to tell a genuinely good, imminently relatable story to the people, to the masses.
Right.
And I think that over the last couple of years, writing in so many different voices, that doesn't just happen overnight. It takes me a good couple months to really get in the groove of who they mm-hmm. are and what they do. But it's become sort of my ipso facto claim to fame, if you will. So, yeah. And it's become a really good niche, and we're one of the only agencies in town that does it.
I kind of feel like being able to write in someone else's voice there's a little bit of acting involved in that, right? You're playing a role. You're playing them
theater.
To a certain extent. Yeah, it's theater. Do you have that background, or do you think that's where it came from, or do you think it's just like, let me figure out who is this person and let me try to crawl inside their brain?
That's hilarious that you asked that, because I got my degree in broadcasting with a minor in theater and in French. So I always joke that I'm destined to work on a TV sitcom in Quebec.
Yes. There's one place that skill set goes.
That is the perfect trifecta. But I have always had the wherewithal. As a media trainer, and that's mm-hmm. what I did for countless years, my entire job was just making people feel comfortable in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. I can talk to anybody about anything for any length of time and make them feel right at home. And so if you put a camera up in front of somebody and they are freaking out, I will talk them off a ledge 100 out of 100 times.
Outstanding. Man, that's a bang up job. Let me switch to a little bit of like business advice and pick your brain about the best business advice you've ever received. Is there some kind of learning out there, some kind of lesson that you've taken with you this throughout your many and varied career?
I took a improv class 150,000 million years ago mm-hmm. because I thought that would teach me a few things that I should be a little quicker on my feet. And they ingrained in my essence to never say no to anything.
It's a yes and.
It is a yes and. Never say no, because no gets you nowhere. So I don't care what, if anybody goes out of their way to invite me to something, I will go, because they were gracious enough to invite. I would go to the opening of an envelope if you invited me.
So interesting. So that translates into because the yes and kind of strategy for improv is, you know, if you're in a conversation, you say yes, whatever it is they throw at you, you say yes and let me add this onto it. But you translate that into the real world where you're like an invitation. I have to go people now.
There's something to be said for kissing babies and shaking hands.
I guess so. And
hobbing and nobbing and doing all the things. Like, put me in a room and I will just work that room till I'm blue in the face.
To put yourself out there. And when you're working in like the personal branding space and talking to those clients, are you able to get that kind of message across to them too? To say, no, put yourself out there. Go physically. Go there. Talk to people.
I think I think most potential personal branding clients are a little... They think it's going to be flair and razzle dazzle you know, sequins and sparkles. And it's not that at all. I mean, it can be if that's what they want, but it's really taken down a notch. And it's, like I said, it is them, but just elevated mm-hmm. for the masses, and making sure that what we're putting out for them resonates with a lot of people, and it also shows them in the best possible light. Again, their best authentic, genuine
their
self.
Their authentic, genuine
Not
self.
Not to beat people over the head with that, but that's the gist of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's the secret. If it comes off as anything but, it goes downhill really fast.
Really fast.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, Michael Mackey, let's go into the lightning round.
Let me take a drink of water first.
Please do. Okay. This is we've talked about improv, and that's going to that training will serve you well here.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sitting down. I'm ready. I'm focused.
You interview people, and let me get a little bit of background, because you have interviewed like all of the stars ever twice or several times.
That's my tagline. You name the celebrity, I've probably interviewed them. Twice.
And that goes way back into a TV career and making sure that you're talking to like literal stars, like literal stars.
10 Academy Award winners, but who's counting?
Man, that's, yeah, that's one or two more than me. I'll admit to that. And you've had a ton of brushes with greatness. Who is that interview that got away? The one that, man, I really wish I would have been able to talk to that person.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, you know, it's not over yet.
It is not. Dolly Parton is at the pinnacle, the zenith, if you will, of celebs. That I've been in the same room with Dolly several times. I've just never had the chance to interview her. But she is at the absolute top of the mountain.
That would have been the one.
And she was just in town about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And don't think I didn't try every possible avenue to secure that interview, but it was impossible.
Well, may the odds be ever in your favor.
I will, as God is my witness, interview Dolly before I die, or before she dies. God rest her soul. She's going to be here forever. She's going to be like Cher and live forever.
Betty White. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Tell me about the dream interview. Like, man, this would be it.
It would have to be somebody at the apex of what they are doing. So like a super, super A-listy star. Like I've interviewed plenty of like the Cameron Diaz's and Jennifer Lopez's and Jennifer Aniston's, but I'm trying to think like who would be at the absolute, probably like a, I don't know. This is just the first person that popped in my mind, but probably like a Tom Cruise.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like some
mega star.
Mega known throughout the world. That would be quite the feather in my cap.
Is the strategy then to like go hard hitting or are you there to riff and improv and have a great time and just have good product at the end?
Riff, improv, have a good time because you only have 4 minutes.
Yeah.
When I tell you, I can't tell you the amount of times that I have stepped in front of a snippy PR wonk with a clipboard and they say, you have 4 minutes with Miss Lopez. And then they shove you in a room. And next thing you know, you are sitting just like I'm sitting next to you. Right. There's Jennifer Lopez. And they start the clock the minute the microphone goes on.
Yeah.
So you have to be dazzling. You have to be jazz hands, spirit fingers.
Immediately on.
I turn on that Vanna White charm and go, hoping, praying that I get a couple good sound bites and some whimsical charm and charisma out of her.
Man. And so next question, you have interviewed all of these great people. Between the two of us in this room, we have both won a total of 8 Emmys. Now with my 0 and your 8, that's pretty powerful. Tell me, like the experience of having that kind of hardware and to have been, you know, in the room with all of those people and potentially be remembered. How has that changed you? How do you deal with that?
I was the reverse Susan Lucci because the very first thing that I ever entered back in 2000, I think, won. And then I never won another Emmy for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I kept entering. And so I was like, well, I'm destined to win just one. One and done.
Just one would do it.
But I can still say Emmy Award winner. And then a funny thing happened. Then I started branching out to my skill set. I started doing some philanthropic videos. I started hosting things. And little by little, I ratcheted. So if you look at my mantle filled with Emmys,
right.
You'll see that it's not just like hosting, or there's stuff in there for promotion. There's PSAs, there's producing. So I'd like to think that I'm a Renaissance man when it comes to, but I'm blessed and highly favored when it comes to winning all those, and don't think I don't know it.
it's good to stay humble, especially with that kind of like track record. So
thank God I'm here. That's right. What I tell people.
Well, tell me this. If you could star on any game show, past or present, what would be that game show?
Plinko. It would be Price is Right.
Price is Right, Plinko.
Plinko. Okay. And one of my gal pals was actually on when they first, I think they introduced it in like 84. And I think she was on in like 85 and won like $30,000. That was before, you know, they had the huge $1 million slots. But she like, and so I remember watching that as a 15-year-old and being like, I've never been more jealous of another human being in my entire life.
There's not strategy to that. Unless I'm wrong.
Where the cards, well, not cards, it's where the Plinko chip falls.
Falls. Where right. The chip falls. I worked with a casino at one point, and craps is one of those games where there's, you know, it's chance. There's a dice. It hits a table, and the table looks a lot like the foam padding in our soundproofingness,
really does.
So that it bounces off of that at a random angle. And they're talking about like cheaters and how here's how you throw the dice if you want to control where that die goes and what number it comes up on. And so there was cheating at games that I thought there's literally no way you could cheat at this. Maybe there is a Plinko opportunity here where you put a little spin on the puck?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Now I'm going to have to go back and I bet you if you Google Plinko strategy.
Oh, there's got to be a Plinko strategy.
But wait, I never knew that there was a strategy to throwing dice.
Oh, it's a fascinating world when you get into the here's how we catch cheaters. But, you know, same thing here. You could look at the casino gaming industry pubs and go, oh, here's where you place the slots that pay off so that, you know, you've got more eye traffic. And it's a fascinating world. The deeper you go into anything, the more fascinating it gets.
God, I love slots. I love slots so much. I go into any casino with $20, mm-hmm. and I leave my wallet in the car. And when that $20 is gone, Your fun is over. My fun is over.
No matter how, even if security is escorting you out with all of your winning, or if you have zero.
What is the most you've ever won?
Oh,
in a casino,
$350. And that's again a craps table, but like at the time, I was just but a young lad working in the gaming industry in the marketing world, and you start looking down at the table, and I immediately calculate how many hours I have to work to get what's at risk on the table right now. Like my brain just does that, and immediately my heart starts to pound out of my chest, and I go, "And we're done. Pull all that down, please. I'm out of here. I can't keep doing that." So there's a low risk tolerance thing for me there.
I think I had a jackpot, a baby jackpot once. It was like $400, and I cashed out.
Oh, I would be done. Yeah.
Ran out of the casino before it.
Yeah, there's the saying that, you know, if you're playing with house money and there's a reason it's called house money. It will soon become house money again. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, spectacular. Let's talk about AI for a second. AI has been in most of the marketing tools we deal with for a long time now, but we're now at a point where when you talk to somebody about AI, they're somewhere between tremendously paranoid because the singularity is coming and they will be our robot overlords, or it's a game changer for knowledge and it's going to take us everywhere. Do you have a perspective on AI?
I think it's a helpful tool, but I am not worried about it in the slightest. I really think it's there just to help sort of push things along. Like if you're a writer with writer's block, it'll help mm-hmm. that slump or whatever.
But 100%.
You cannot. I can spy AI a million. Don't tell me you can't either. I can AI a million miles away.
Yes. No. And whether it's grading an exam where somebody has used AI, or if it's looking at a photo and you go, why does that person have six fingers? That's weird. Like, yes, you can spot it. But what if, and I'm just saying, what if that it's the idea of AI to go, hey, let's put six fingers on that photo. We won't show that we can, you know, do five. Let's just put six fingers out there. We'll keep everybody at bay.
I never thought about that. I guess it's something to look forward. Maybe everyone should have six figures in Photoshop.
It's a conspiracy.
In the six fingers. Okay. All right. I'm going to start looking for those. That person has six fingers.
Be on the lookout. Did you have a coach or a teacher in life who taught you something that's stuck with you to this day?
My dad, on the very first day of kindergarten, this is a good story. My dad, on the very first day of kindergarten, woke me up early, made me a bowl of cereal, and we sat in our literal pantry, and he had jerry-rigged a record player in the pantry. And every morning while I sat and ate my cereal as a burgeoning 5-year-old, he would play a record that was the word of the day.
Oh.
And every day I would sit there and it was like it was the same thing over and over, but it was like, the word of the day is loquacious. Loquacious. Can you say loquacious? Loquacious, meaning talkative or chatty. And then they would use it in a sentence. And so every day I would sit there, you know, for 5 minutes while I was eating my cereal, and I would learn a word of the day. And so at 5 years old, I was already like a Mensa member.
Right.
And, you know, I would go in and, you know, if my kindergarten teacher was being quiet, I was like, why are you so taciturn today? And she'd be like, what is happening, child prodigy? And I was, you know, because I had learned the word of the day. So.
Oh, my.
So I owe my dad. Yeah. My word, my vocabulary, my extensive litany of words that I use. So many words.
I like that story. It gives me a great sense of pride as well, because I got a note from a daycare teacher at one point when my daughter was, you know, pre-K and said, she used the word antagonize today correctly. So whatever you're doing, yeah, keep it up. So, yeah. No, I like that lesson. That's a good one.
What was the story behind why she used antagonize? Well, that's what I want
to know. When you're in the infant room or whatever, when you're in the toddler room and somebody takes your toys and you have to, you know, be the one who tells on someone else, you know, so-and-so is antagonizing me today. Like, it works for me. I'm pretty proud of that one.
I would pat yourself on the back multiple times.
There are a few of those. There are a few of those.
Props.
Let me give this question out. If we give you the power to change the world in some way, some way to change the world to make it a better place, what would you do? It's a lot of power to have.
I think people need to experience other cultures. I think people need to experience other ways of life, other walks of life. I would make travel mandatory.
Mandatory travel. Yeah.
And I can't think for the life of me, I had it in my head, but it just popped out. I can't remember the quote from Mark Twain about travel, but that always resonated with me. Like, that's basically how and why I became a travel writer, is because I wanted to experience. There were so many places that I had not seen, visited, and that I wanted other people to experience along with me on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to hate an entire group of people until you meet them.
Until you are immersed in all things wherever they're at and whatever they're doing.
Yeah. I'll live in that world. I'll live in the mandatory travel world. That'll work for me.
Mandatory travel.
Michael Mackey, I'm taking you out of the lightning round. You've crushed it. As always, no sweat. Hey, tell people where they can find you. If they want more information, personal branding, on following you, where do they go? What do they do?
Well, if you are interested in personal branding, you can check out the agency that I work for. It's called Lillian James Creative, and that is lillianjamescreative.com. Or if you'd like to find me on the LinkedIn's, you can find me at Michael Mackey, or michaelmackey.com, which has sort of become my namesake on the radio. Like, literally,
that's the thing. Yeah.
My name is one name, like Cher or Madonna or Charo. It's michaelmackey.com. So there
that's,
you go.
That's a good way to put it. All right. Thanks for being with us today on the podcast.
We'll get to your business.
And that is our show. Thanks to our guest, Michael Mackey. And thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another small business miracle.
All right. Talking about your strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business, get into your business, that's right, get into your business, oh, we'll get into your business.